guys. We're going to press pause on the Multiply series for a week. Who's like just finishing up their spring break? Sorry, guys. There. Hope it was great. Who's going on spring break? Or who's already technically on spring break and loving it? Oh, it's the best. It's the best. Who likes to watch movies during spring break?
Yeah.
Man, I love to, like, when I have nothing to do, I love to just plop down on the couch, watch a great movie. You know, there's a lot of great movies out there. One kind of movie that I really like is a good treasure hunt movie every now and then, right? And so, like, man, there's so many classics out there. I'm going to throw out Indiana Jones. Has anybody ever seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and some other ones? The Goonies, another classic treasure hunt movie, right? What about Pirates of the Caribbean or Caribbean, right? I think they just made number 12 now. Aladdin, a great treasure hunt movie. The Hobbit, not as good as Lord of the Rings, but still pretty epic. Right? They took one book and made it into three movies. National Treasure.
Yeah.
It's a great one. That was a little overplayed on TNT, in my opinion, back in the day. But still classic. Moana, a great treasure hunt movie. The Heart of the Sea. Okay, some guys really don't like Moana. There's another treasure hunt movie coming out in a month called Ready Player One. It's like a virtual treasure hunt. And so, like, I love a good treasure hunt movie. You know, the movie where they're spending the whole time looking out, like, searching for this treasure, going on all kinds of adventure, looking for this treasure, and they find it, and the movie ends because that's all they needed to find, right? And so I love those kind of movies, and a lot of us do. And today, we are also going to be talking about treasure. All right, now the dictionary defines treasure as something of great worth or value. All right, and so that's what we're talking about today. I want you to think about things that are of great worth or value in your heart. And we're going to see what Scripture has to say about treasure. Now, Scripture's often frequently going to equate treasure with money as a way to talk about treasure. Money may be your treasure. I'm guessing that there are probably other things that you would treasure even more than money, especially in junior high. Things like sports or success. If that is of great value to you, success in sports, or just maybe even watching sports, then that is a treasure of yours. If your friends, your family, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your wife or your husband, if they are of great value to you, they are a treasure to you. If popularity is of great value to you, it is something you treasure. If good grades are of great value or worth to you, it is something you treasure. Instagram likes, video games, if those are of great worth or value to you, then they are something you treasure. It is a treasure you have in your heart. And so what we're going to talk about today is, what does the Bible say about the things we treasure in our heart? Is it bad to have treasures? And where do we line them up with everything else? All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 18 today. So you can turn there. It'll be helpful to you. We're going to spend the majority of our time there. We're going to talk about and study an interaction that Jesus had with a rich young ruler. All right, and so this rich young ruler, I'm going to give you a little context on him. All right, he was probably a ruler or an official of the synagogue, the place of worship at that time. All right, it's where people went to worship, was the synagogue. And so he was most likely a guy that would arrange religious services there, some kind of official. All right, so here's who he was. He was a guy that went to church, right? In our terms, right, we would know him as a guy that he's been plugged in to a church. He's been going to a church for a long time. We've seen him around Watermark for a long time. He's there pretty faithfully, and he probably serves, right? So that's the kind of guy we're talking about. He's also wealthy, right? He's got a lot of riches. That's one of the primary words the Scripture uses to describe him, was the rich young ruler, All right, and so he is wealthy. In those times, it's important to note that a lot of times people assumed if somebody was wealthy, then that meant that God had favor with them, that it was a sign of God's favor. Wealth at that time was assumed to be a sign of God's favor. God must have his hand on that guy. God must approve of that guy. God must love what that guy's doing because he's given him wealth. All right, so what we're looking at is a guy well involved in church, well off financially, looks like it's got it all together on the external. And so many people assume he's got it all together inside as well. All right, and so we're going to see how Jesus and him interact. I'm going to go ahead and spoil a little bit. His treasure is his wealth. So as we study this, as you think about how does this line up with my life, I want you to replace his wealth with whatever treasures you have. All right, so we'll jump in. It says, and a ruler, that's the rich young ruler, a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all of these I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And he ended up walking away from Christ. He walked away. And so here's what happens. He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, sometimes we'll see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, people will ask Jesus that to try to trick him. Right, like lawyers will come up to Jesus and say, hey, what do we have to do to have eternal life? And they'll be doing it in a way to trap him, to get him to say something that's going to contradict himself or get him into a place where they can say, look, see, he's not the Messiah or he's contradicting what Scripture said. That's not what this guy's doing. He's genuinely asking, hey, what do I have to do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's not trying to deceive Jesus. And this is a good question. Right? Like, this is a really good question. You would love if somebody came up to you and asked you this question that didn't know Jesus, because that would be like T-ball for sharing the gospel, right? You could say, oh, well, great. Let me share the gospel with you. You don't have to do anything, right? Christ died for your sins. So you could go down. That would be a great launching point. That question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have a relationship with God? If there's anything after this life, how do I have a part of that? That's the question that draws a lot of people to church, draws a lot of people to faith, right? And so it's a good question. And what we'll see Jesus do here is he'll kind of cut through some superficial stuff. He'll say, why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. And he says, hey, here's the law. Keep it. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. And remember, this guy externally looking pretty clean, right? In fact, he even said, all these I've kept since my youth. What he's saying there is, hey, I can't remember a season of my life where I was not committed to keeping God's law, to following God's commandments on my life. My life has been about following God and doing what he has laid out for us. And I can't think of a time where I wasn't doing that. He's like, I was raised in the church. But Jesus says, hey, one thing you still lack. Go and sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. You have treasure in heaven and come, follow me. Now, I want to clarify here real quick, because treasuring things is not bad. I have a lot of treasures in my life. My wife is a treasure to me. My friends, my family, they are treasures to me. My small group guys and my co-leaders of that small group, they are treasures to me. Harrison and Rebe and Ben and Thomas and Garrison and Lindsay, they are treasures to me. I enjoy movies are treasures to me, right? Like I enjoy those things. A good meal, ooh, that's a treasure, right? Like, man, a good ribeye, holy cow, that's a treasure. And so it's not bad to treasure things. In fact, here's just three scriptures that talk about, the first one talks about, hey, there's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This is from God. right? Enjoy the work of your labor, the sweetness of a friend. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So it's not, the Bible will speak all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of also other proverbs and things that a happiness that generally comes from living wisely even. So it's okay to treasure things. And so you might read this, what we just read, and say, hold on, does that mean if I want to follow Jesus, the only way to follow Jesus is to sell everything that I have and own nothing? So the only way to follow God is if I literally just have the clothes on my back. Do we think that's what it's saying? No, it's not, but it's important why Jesus asks this. All right? Jesus asks the guy this question. He tells the guy to do this for the same reason he asks a lot of other questions. Right? And we talked a lot about it at D-Town. Jesus is after your heart. He doesn't want your actions. He wants your heart much more than your actions because your heart will lead to your actions. We talked a ton about that at D-Town. Right? And so this is the same reason. He is after this guy's heart. He wants to cut through all the external stuff, all the, hey, I'm doing these commands. He wants to go right to that rich young ruler's heart because Jesus knows something that we would do really well to also know. And that's this: your treasures are revealed by what you think and do every day. Your treasures are going to be revealed to you and to anybody else by what you think and do every day. For this guy, when Jesus told him that, when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And it's this sad picture. He walks away from Jesus with his head down, so sad that he can't follow Jesus. But you know what that reveals? Is that his real treasure is not following Jesus. It's not eternal life with God. It's not a relationship with God. His real treasure is his wealth, his money, his riches. And we know that because he wasn't willing to give that up. And in the same way, your treasures are revealed by what you think and do every day. If I buy 3 pairs of shoes every month, shoes are my treasure, right? That's simple. If I make certain decisions based on what people think of me, the approval of people is my treasure. If it takes you 45 minutes to curate an Insta post, your social media presence is your treasure, right? Like, you're getting the angle just right. You're getting the filter. You're like, golly, what am I going to say in this caption? I got to say so witty and like, but also don't want it to be long, because the minute somebody sees something long, they just skip right past, right? If you're spending 45 minutes for every Insta post, then your social media presence is your treasure. And again, that may not be a bad thing necessarily, right? For you to treasure a certain thing, but it's important for you to realize that your treasures are revealed by what you think and do every day. So what are you thinking a lot about? What's rolling in your mind all the time? If it's that same one or two things, if it's, man, I'm lonely. I wish I had a girlfriend. I wish I had a boyfriend. Man, how come that guy gets to have a girlfriend? He's a dork. How come, you know, like, I'm on the football team. How come this dorky guy gets out? Like, then chances are your treasure might be having a girlfriend or a boyfriend. What are you doing every day? What are you spending your time on? A lot of you probably don't have a ton of like your own personal money, right? So if it was all adults, if it was just the leaders, what I would tell them is, hey, look at what you spend money on every month, and that's what you treasure. But you guys, your currency is time, right? What do you spend your time on? If you spend 3 hours a night playing Fortnite, that's your treasure, right? If you spend 3 hours a night watching Netflix, that's one of your treasures. And again, hey, I'm not saying certain treasures are bad. Obviously, there are certain things that we would treasure that would go against Scripture. But just in and of itself, a good meal, a good movie, friends, the love of somebody else, somebody caring about us, that's not a bad thing to treasure necessarily. But it is really important that you know and that you understand and that you think hard and like think about yourself. What do I think about? What do I do? Because that's revealing what my treasures are. because here's why. The danger is that having an ultimate treasure other than Jesus Christ is distracting and it's destructive. All right? It's distracting and it's destructive. It's okay to have treasures, but having an ultimate treasure above Jesus Christ is distracting and it's destructive. Because his wealth is his ultimate treasure, which we can see, it distracts him from following Christ. Here's a funny example. If there was a group of pirates that had this map that said, hey, this X, where this X marks this spot, that's where an incredible treasure could be found. It'll be huge. It would be a gigantic treasure. You won't be able to fit it all in your boat, all right? Your ship might sink because of all the treasure, and then the Goonies come and find it. Like that might be like it's going to be that big of a treasure. If they're sailing to that treasure, and then somebody else says, hey, I heard there was a couple Spanish doubloons on this island way east of us. Should we stop there first? That would be foolish for them to give up the big treasure to go get a couple doubloons, right? That would be dumb. They need to focus on the big treasure. If they're distracted by a couple small coins with some random heads on it, then that would be dumb. They need to go get the big treasure, right? The huge treasure. In the same way, if we have an ultimate treasure other than Christ, it will be distracting to us. It will keep us from following Christ. It's going to divide our minds. It's going to divide our hearts, and it's going to distract us from pursuing Christ. Now, again, that's not to say that you can't treasure things, but when it's an ultimate treasure, it will distract you, just like it distracted this guy. But the biggest danger is that it is destructive. Think about this. This guy wanted to know, hey, where do I find eternal life? Where do I find satisfaction and life and joy and peace with God? Right? Where I'm made right with him and I can have a relationship with him both now and in eternity after my body dies. He wants to know that. He wasn't deceiving Jesus. He wanted to know that. And he ended up walking away from the only thing that could give him eternal life. The only thing that could get him what he was looking for because his ultimate treasure was his money. That is a sad picture. That's a really sad picture. And why is it so destructive? Well, there's a couple scriptures here. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so what Jesus is saying is that, hey, if money is your ultimate treasure, or you guys fill in the blank, if blank is my ultimate treasure, I cannot let both of those be the master of my life, right? A master, think about that imagery of master. Master is, they tell you what to do. They tell you, do this, do this, do this. You are following whatever the master tells you. And if you try, you can try as hard as you want, but nobody can serve two masters. Because what if one master tells you something from the other one, something different from the other one? Right? And that's what's going to happen if you try to make something else your ultimate treasure other than God. You're going to hear two different things, right? If my treasure is the approval of others, and I'm in a moment where maybe I have a chance to gossip about somebody behind their back, or to throw somebody under the bus, or to make a really funny joke that's really inappropriate based on them, that's going to be hurtful to them. If I'm in that moment and my ultimate treasure is what people think of me, well, that master is telling me, make the joke, spread the gossip, because people are going to think higher of me then. But my other, what I want, what I say I want to be my ultimate master, following Christ would say, no, you treat other people as you want to be treated. And so I have two conflicting things there. And that's what Jesus is saying. You won't be able to serve both. So you better be careful that it is not an ultimate treasure other than Christ. One of the guys who wrote Psalms 86, this was his prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. that I may fear your name. An undivided heart. Don't let it be divided by too many different treasures. Let you be the ultimate treasure and everything else comes under that. So here's the image I want you to have. It's like if you've got something in your fist closed really tightly and it's behind your back and you're telling God, hey, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. You are so good. Lord, your grace has covered my life. I'm all in with you. I'm all in. And I'll go anywhere you tell me and I'll share the gospel with anybody and I'll do this and I'll go wherever you want me to. Lord, it is you and me as long as you don't touch this. As long as you don't touch that thing. As long as you keep my body healthy. As long as you allow me to have success in sports. As long as you allow me to get into a good college. As long as you allow me to be popular. As long as you allow me to be comfortable, I'm in. But here's the deal. God loves you and he's good. And he knows that our greatest life will always be found in the greatest amount of devotion to him. So he's always going to say, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that you're holding behind your back. And you'll constantly be trying to protect this ultimate treasure that you're holding behind your back. And you're only going to get so far because God loves you. He's like, look, you're holding that behind your back. It can't be your ultimate treasure. I need to be your ultimate treasure. That's where your greatest life is found. Let's talk about that. So what do we do then? What's the right mindset to have? What is your name right here in the T-Bar M shirt?
Kelly.
Come on up here a second, Kelly. I want to use you for something. I picked you because you had the T-Bar M shirt on, if I'm honest. All right, Kelly, this string is going to represent everything from the creation of the world to the end, all the way to through eternity, all right? And I tied a big knot here, and I'll put a dot on it. And so this is us right here where this dot is. This is us in this moment right now, and the rest of this is eternity. So, hey, I want you to just keep walking with that. We're going to stretch this line out all the way. You can go out the door. Keep going. It might be a little tangled, but just keep going. Grab the end of it. You can find it. Keep going, Kelly. Here we go. It is tangled. That's my bad. But keep going. This is like at D-Town with that jump rope. You guys remember that? That was embarrassing. Couldn't get that jump rope untangled. Well, here's what would have happened, all right? Eventually, Kelly would just, and you can keep going, Kelly, but she would just keep going and going and going, and she'll go out that door, and it was going to take her past the wake desk. It was going to take her past the elevators, into the hallway, down a couple flights of stairs, and we're not going to get anywhere close right there now because of how tangled I made this, but it was going to just go and go and go and go. And so do this, Kelly. Why don't you just leave it down there? You can just drop it on the floor. That's my fault, not yours. Give it real quick. Give it over, Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. So, but here's the deal. This was going to go all the way downstairs, down the stairs that you're going to go down here in a few minutes to go meet up with your family. And that was going to represent not only the beginning of the world, not only our time, not only all the way through to the end of Revelation when Jesus comes back, but also eternity. And this is us, this little dot, all right? And then that whole line is the rest of eternity, which we'll all be a part of in some way, right? Like we are eternal souls, right? And so here's the mindset we need to have. We need to live for the line, not the dot. Okay? Live for the line, not the dot. Jesus will say it this way in Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Don't store up treasures for yourself here. If your whole life is about the ultimate treasures that you can have here on this earth, even if you're the most popular, even if you have the most Instagram followers, even if you are the, you know, you have the best, you have the most number of wins on Fortnite, even if you are Tom Brady, you're so good at sports, right? Or Chloe Kim, or any, insert any name of any successful athlete, or you run NASA, right? None of those treasures are gonna be worth it. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You know what lasts for eternity? The word of God and the souls of men, right? And so invest in those things. Invest in people. Share God's truth with them. Have an abiding relationship with Christ and make him your ultimate treasure. It says, Lord, I am empty-handed here. I'm holding nothing behind my back. And I'm all in with you. Well done, good and faithful. That's why I want to live for the line and not the dot. Proverbs 11, 28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. And just real quick, some of you out there might be like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to stop treasuring this. Maybe it is bad. Maybe you know what you're treasuring is sinful. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't think it's sinful, but I treasure it in a way that it's an ultimate treasure. And that's sinful. And how do I do that? Well, Jesus' disciples had that same question for him. They say, who can be saved? And in Luke 18, Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Jesus paid the price for all of us. Galatians says, for freedom, you've been set free. And so plead with God. Talk to your small group leader. They can help walk through those individual things with you and the people in your small group. Noah. Where's Noah? Did you ever find that treasure?
No. I was just gonna ask
you what it was. Yeah. So there was a real $50 treasure. And I did that. I would have been really impressed if you'd have found it because they were really hard clues and it had you going everywhere. You would have had gotten real lucky because I said one of the clues is under a chair on this floor, right? So you would have had gotten real lucky and you'd have been looking for a long time and you would have won a $50 prize. And the $50 prize is right here, but I said it was a $50 prize. And what you would have won, Noah, and I would have given you this, is $50 worth of things like cutlery, aluminum foil, more cutlery, serving trays, right? Things like that is what you would have won. And I know some of you guys, wait till you register for a wedding. You'd be registering for a lot of that. So, but... Thank you for going to look for that as part of like the message illustration. I know that's a really like long con, but here's why I did that. All I wanted to illustrate with that was that if you spend your life trying to find a treasure that's not Christ, and if you spend, it's going to look a lot like that treasure hunt, right? And then I'm not saying Wake was like supposed to represent Jesus and that YouTube showdown was supposed to represent Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if you search for treasure other than Christ and you just give in to that and you make your life all about that ultimate treasure and it's different than Christ, you're going to be looking aimlessly for a long time and the treasure's never going to be as good as it was promised. And that's true. And so the last thing I want you to know is that the treasure of Jesus Christ is worth forsaking all other treasures. Memorize Matthew 13, 44. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then, and these three words are really they're the hardest parts for me about this verse. In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. And that is the treasure of Jesus Christ. It's worth forsaking all other treasures you might have. It's worth it. I promise you. If you make that your ultimate treasure, you won't have to go hunting for other treasure. Because Jesus is enough. He's worth it. He's good. He alone is good. and what he provides, the joy, the life, the satisfaction, the peace with God that he provides, no other thing can give. The freedom that comes with the relationship with Christ, no other thing can give. And so that's what you need to know. And so what do you need to do? You go buy that field. Buy the field, right? If this was like a Friday Night Lights football coach, like remember the Titans speech, that would be the mantra of the team, right? I'd go buy the field. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to buy the field. I want you to think about that. Memorize Matthew 13, 44 and make the goal of your life. I want to buy the field. Because Jesus is worth it. He's the treasure that is worth forsaking all the other ones. Here's the great thing. You don't have to go hunting for it. You don't have to actually buy anything. It's a free gift, right? What Jesus offers, and it's good, and it's the best. So let me pray for us that we would. God, you are good. You alone are good, and you, Lord, you do give us things here on earth, God, that we can treasure, things that are good. And Lord, I pray that as we do treasure them, God, that they would lead to worship of you, God, the ultimate treasure. I pray that nothing else on this earth that we could value or have worth would be worth any more than you to us in our hearts. And so, God, if there are students here, Lord, that don't treasure you in that way, Lord, I pray that they would. God, I pray for myself and for all of us, God, that you would help us to treasure you each day, God, that we would be daily devoted to you. And we would recognize every day, God, you are the ultimate treasure. And so, Lord, we ask that knowing that it's by your grace alone, we can't muster that up in ourselves. It's by your grace alone, it's for your glory, and it's for our good. And so we ask this in your name. Amen.